This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, of course, the Chiefs lost their opener on Friday against the Eagles. We just heard from Andy Reid, his weekly press conference. We'll go through that a little bit. Pretty short. You could tell maybe not in the...
The Fulton stuff might have been the most interesting.
Yeah, maybe not in the best of moods on a Monday after the travel, after the loss and everything like that. We did hear from him on Worthy. He just said he's day-to-day, the dreaded day-to-day. Now, I don't know if that means they don't think he needs surgery, and so he's just going to rehab, and they want to see how the shoulder goes through rehab. Always the concern with that is then we sit here in 2 weeks, and they're like, well, actually, now it does need surgery. And then it delays it another 2 weeks. So we don't know.
Again, if he has to have surgery, he'll just be done for the year.
Ian Rappaport, of course, yesterday said it is a dislocated shoulder, and they're weighing their options. But we didn't get the clarity we were hoping for. In fact, any lifelong Chiefs fan knows when you hear day-to-day, it actually brings back some bad memories.
Yeah, it goes back to the Eric Berry thing and a million others in between it. Let's just call it what it is. Andy just doesn't want to tell you, and we'll have to wait for a national reporter to give us a better idea of timeline. Thanks. Because day by day, I'll just tell you right now, if he's day by day, that means he'd have a chance to practice tomorrow. And I'll just tell you, without knowing anything or sourced at all, he doesn't. Or next week or the week after that, he separated his shoulder. We'll see what comes of it.
Dislocated his
shoulder. We'll see what comes of it there. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals took 2-3 over the weekend against the Minnesota Twins. Bobby Witt Jr. has missed the past two games due to back spasms. Is not expected to play tonight for the Royals as well. So start a 4-game set against the Cleveland Guardians. You can hear that game right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. They are still 2 games back of the Seattle Mariners with 19 games left to play. Half game back of the Rangers. Briefly, we're ahead of the Rangers by half game. Now half game back.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, college football over the weekend. Of course, the border war in Columbia. It was the Missouri Tigers getting the win 42-31. Missouri up into the top 25. We expected whoever won that game would move into the top 25. That happened. Missouri 2-0. KU picks up their first loss of the season. They're on a bye this weekend. As for the Wildcats in Manhattan, they are now 1-2. They fell at home in a bye game against Army. 24-21. Fortunate, frankly, to not be 0-3. They could have lost last week to North Dakota as well. It has been a very troubling start to the season for the Kansas State Wildcats.
To say the least. I mean, that's putting it mildly, obviously. Mm-hmm. If you were a K-State fan and a Chiefs fan, or a Kansas fan and a Chiefs fan, I'm sorry for what was a very difficult football weekend. Next up on What's Trending, 5-star forward Tony Bryan has committed to Missouri, giving their men's basketball program their second top 15 recruit of the 2026 class. Bryant was said to be considering a number of other big schools, including North Carolina, committed to Missouri today. We'll see whether or not that makes a huge difference to them. But good recruiting. Missouri, generally speaking, athletics-wise, the last couple of years, 3, 4, 5 years, both basketball and football, recruiting has not been the problem. Getting it all put together on the field has been, they've been coming up a little bit more short of that. But yeah, recruiting-wise, has been very good. They pick up another 5-star power forward.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, on Monday, 30 Hop, our Monday lunch partner, $5.99 Classic Burgers at 30 Hop, their location in Lee Summit, also just down the street from us here in Merriam Grand Station. Proud lunch partner of Cody and Gold. It's your new go-to, an American bar kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, those awesome patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. You can stop in for lunch right about now or stay for happy hour, 30hop.com. Again, $5.99 classic burgers on Mondays. Local beer, American Eats, big patio over at 30 Hop.
All right, let's talk about a couple of things we saw in the Andy Reid press conference, which is, of course, brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others. And then we'll talk about the Xavier Worthy injury and maybe the Royals part of it and some of this other stuff. So first, when he says day by day, that doesn't mean anything. Just throw that away. We don't know the timeline for the Xavier Worthy injury. We will wait for a national reporter to tell us that information. We'll talk about how long we expected to be here momentarily, as Andy Reid did not really divulge that. I thought the most interesting thing he had said in the press conference was about Christian Fulton, a player we had just talked about and mentioned outside of that. Other than the fact that you can tell Andy's pissed about how Friday's game went, even though it has been Saturday and Sunday, and now we're halfway through Monday, he is still in a bad mood about how that team performed on Saturday. Maybe, I don't know, the flight back gave him a little jet lag, and he's in a worse mood because of that. When you look at what he said about Christian Fulton, he said, it's not just that he's still recovering from the injury, admitting that that is at least part of the equation. It's the defensive side of it too, meaning they either think he's not performing as well as the other corners or does not know the defense, which is a huge thing for them as it relates to playing time. And then also said, I can't tell you how much more he's going to play right now, which means Christian Fulton, if you thought, let's flip that and let's get Shamari Connor off the field more and Christian Fulton in more in week two, I would tell you for week two, that's not going to happen. And that this is going to be a few more weeks before they would make the full transition to what was, honestly, at the time, their biggest offseason signing. It might very well end up being Hollywood Brown now that they're without Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice. But Christian Fulton was one of the biggest offseason signings they made. And now you're telling me he's not even going to be the number two corner. That was the whole, let's get McDuffie in the right spot. Let's manipulate the defense in a good way. That's a problem for their defense. It is.
Yeah, I think we all planned on him, even when he was hurt, you know, still having an opportunity fairly early on in the season. And yeah, I took it the same way. I'm not saying at some point later on in the year, Christian Fulton can't become much more of a factor, but doesn't feel like that's happening anytime soon based on that. Remember, he was, I might say it was a massive contract, but it was a two-year, $20 million contract. 15 of it guaranteed. I mean, this was not a nothing signing. They obviously passed on paying Nick Bolton and Fulton got paid. Justin Reid did not. That's why he's not here in Kansas City. Fulton was going to give you all the flexibility. And, you know, Shamari Connor really, really struggled. Jaden Hicks obviously really, really struggled. It is one game. I'm not saying guys can't improve. It's just, as we've been saying over and over today, the concerns are real. The question is your belief in how quickly they can get some of this corrected and how difficult this schedule is right out of the gate.
Look, like, in Spags we trust. I definitely think he can correct some of these
problems. They will. I think some of it is correctable very quickly. We talked about just the communication stuff with the guys running into each other on defense, leading to wide open wide receivers. But the overall just, hey, they didn't even go man-to-man all that much. They were actually in zone quite a bit. But if man-to-man coverage, how much do you trust Shamari Connor? Can Trent McDuffie give you max value if he's not able to play inside at all? Because
my answer is no.
You don't have Fulton. No, he cannot. He's most valuable when he can play multiple spots for you. And Christian Fulton was going to allow you to do that. And now it sounds like it's going to be a while before you're going to be able to actually unleash that. So yeah, it's not, that's not a good thing to hear from Andy whatsoever.
It was a weird game. They didn't run the ball, but then at the same time, they were down so much. Did I think that they weren't running the ball successfully? Do I think that the way Patrick Mahomes was playing, I wish they ran it more? They scored on their last five possessions. So not handing it off to Isaiah Pacheco didn't exactly hurt them for the entire second half of the game, right? Like, we can talk about some of that stuff as it relates, but at the same time, that didn't run into it. But at the cornerback spot we're talking about here with Fulton, I can easily point out some stuff where Shamari Connor got beat. Some of the other corners got beat. They look out of position, out of order, disorganized. The safety play wasn't particularly good. I got no problem nitpicking that part and saying, are you sure it couldn't have been better? It was a surprise to us. When I saw he only had six snaps for the first two and a half quarters, I'm like, are you sure? He got up to 15, which probably tells you that the fact that they upped it was they saw the same thing we did, which was Shamari Connor couldn't guard Quentin Johnson or the ones that killed me, and this is probably in retrospect now, The off coverage they played on the corners on the third downs, they let Ladd McConkey just have 9 yards. It'd be like
they're giving away first downs on like third and eights.
Yeah, I mean, just
third and nines. Yeah,
it wasn't even competitive coverage on those. They were playing so off on those. They're just letting Ladd McConkey have eight, letting Quentin Johnson have nine. It wasn't even like they were trying to stop him on third down. Is what it looked. I obviously know that
I get what you're saying. Guys were just flat out wide open. That's why it's like Justin Herbert. One of his best statistical performances of his career, one of his better games, bigger games he's won, and all that is true. He was able to carve them up because it was all just right there, and he could stand in a clean pocket. He wasn't worried about anybody touching him or anything like that. I mean, it was just way too easy. We don't normally get into like some of these numbers, but it speaks to what you just said about how open everybody was. Ladd McConkey won on 28% of his routes. Quentin Johnson, okay? Quentin Johnson, who's been a bust really to this point in time.
Yeah, he has.
30% of his routes. Keenan Allen, shout out to Bink, 25.8% of routes he won on. Kansas City, meanwhile, on their offensive side, the best win rate was Travis Kelce, and it wasn't very often. It was 10%. Tyquan Thorne won 9%. Juju won 9%. Hollywood Brown won 6% of the time, roughly almost 7% of the time. We don't normally bring that stuff up, but if you're wondering, like, were they as wide open as we thought? Yeah, it's because McConkey was winning 30% of the time.
They were as wide open as you think. But like the same problem exists. Is that a secondary stat or is it a pass rush stat? Now, here's the thing. It's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
On some of those third downs, it's not like he was standing back there forever. I mean, they just gave him 8 yards. So, like, in a way, it was definitely
holding the ball on for a long time. He just got rid of it.
They played way more zone than we have seen.
I think they thought they were going to run. I think genuinely part of this was a bad plan. They sat in there in the meetings all week, and they thought they were going to hand the ball to Najee Harris and Amari Hampton 35 times, and they were trying to zone blitz defense, run gap assignment, work it that way. And then when Justin Herbert stepped back and just threw it, it seemed like 35 times in a row, they were like, uh-oh.
Well, isn't that something that worked? Because that's what I was – one of the things that I thought either it was an adjustment or lack thereof from Spags, but they mentioned it on the broadcast multiple times of – They came in with a plan probably to run it, but they realized that they were running zone. It was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to change everything because you have a weakness and we're going to expose it over and over and over and over again. And it just didn't stop. Like there was nothing. I don't know if it was a non-adjustment or if it's just a personnel issue that we're kind of realizing of guys who are out on the field or if it's everything combined. But that for them to totally go away from what Jim Harbaugh is known to do and the style of football because you have a weak spot and it worked for them. I don't know if that's something you can fix necessarily.
No tape
quickly,
on anyone.
You know?
It's easier to take advantages of people.
There was no reason to run the ball. There wasn't. Everything. I mean, everything was right there in front of them. You had all day and everything was open. So of course that, you know, it's actually normally what the Chargers get made fun of. Normally they would have been, sticking strictly to their game plan and kind of said, no, we know better. We're not going to go out of the box in their mind. And yeah, they were willing to pass. My guess is, who do the Chargers have? Monday night, they play the Raiders, I guess, a week from tonight.
Yeah, they might be 2-0.
My guess is they're going to run.
2-0 in the division,
My guess is they're going to run the ball way more against the Raiders than they did against Kansas City. I don't suddenly think that Justin Herbert and Harbaugh now are just going to be, I don't know what the exact breakdown was, 70% pass, 30% run. I don't think that's happening under Jim Harbaugh.
No, by no means.
For one game, that's all they had to do. And they could do that. They did do it all night long. There was no reason to run the football. Even late, they didn't even get, usually the Chargers would get conservative late. To their credit, they did not. They continued to pass the ball. Heck, even the third and 14 call, a lot of times we would have seen them, we're just going to hand it off to Najee Harris.
A little delay,
Hampton.
Handoff, like, yeah, oh, no, we tried.
We'll pick up 6 yards and we'll punt it. No, they had a clever call. Herbert, I understand Chris Jones missed his assignment, but still, like they were passing the football in that spot.
So I wonder, are we, and somebody in the text line brings this up, Are the Chargers just potentially, I know it's one game, but are they potentially seeing a lot of growth from the guys who they have? Like Quentin Johnston, I understand that he's been a bust throughout, but he looked very good. Keenan Allen looked like he was shades of
not growth of Keenan
of what he was.
Keenan Allen is who he is.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, Will Dessie was making plays. Obviously, Amarian Hampton looked very, very solid. I mean, there's a reason why he was taken in the first round. You could see some explosiveness. Is that something that we are maybe not discrediting, but we're not paying enough attention to where, look, if they beat the Chargers, they're 2-0 in the division and they're 2-0 overall.
The Raiders.
If they, it feels like the Chargers are in a great spot moving forward if they win another game here and maybe we're
Yeah, I mean, look,
giving them enough credit in this, I guess.
2-0 is better than 1-1 or 0-2, depending on how you think the Chiefs are going to do on Sunday. Yeah, like, so the Chargers, maybe I'm in the minority here, and like maybe this is like anti-sports talk radio. I don't change my season-long predictions off of 1 or 2 weeks of the NFL season. I think that gets you in a lot of trouble from a betting perspective as well, the overreaction stuff. And I'm not saying you're overreacting. My point is just like, you're asking, like, do we not give them enough credit? I don't know yet, Drew. Like, honestly.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Also, they were an 11-win team, and the Chiefs didn't play a good football game. I expect to lose to 11-win
teams. Do I think the Chargers are now winning 14 games and going to be a top 2 seed? No. Not just because of that. No, by the way, if they beat the Raiders, who I think are a 7-win team, I'm not going to think the Chargers are the second best team in the AFC. Like, actually, what would be more stunning will cause me to actually shift is if the Raiders beat the Chargers, then I actually might say, well, maybe the Raiders are better. I'll believe that more than I would the Chargers beating the Raiders on Monday Night Football.
I'm not saying that they're going to win the division or anything like that. I still think the Chiefs are going to complete that. But I just mean from a contender perspective where, you know what, they actually have a team that feels like they have enough weapons to make something happen in the playoffs is more of what, because what we've seen is they'll make the playoffs, but the roster is just not, it doesn't seem like it's good enough to make a run. But who knows? I mean, again, through one game, it's too early
to tell. Plus injuries.
Obviously.
I mean, yeah. I mean, plus injuries happen down the road. Like, are the
for other teams?
They have
Rashawn
Slater's already hurt for them. Do they have another big injury that happens? The Chiefs are down their top two playmakers now. Do the Raiders? Do the Chargers lose Ladd McConkey? They can't afford to lose him. They're screwed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just saying. After 1 week, you're asking basically, do I view the Chargers differently now? No, I don't.
I thought they were a near playoff or playoff team going into it, and they're still that. They beat a team that, again, if you don't play good football and a playoff team plays good football, they can beat you, and they did. But yeah, I don't necessarily move the needle. Now, if Quentin Johnson is good,
that's a game changer.
He takes a development. Now, if he takes a development year, then maybe we're on to something. But I'm not willing to declare Quentin Johnson's got it all figured out because he had one good football. My guess is, without looking, Quentin Johnson had a good football game last year. Like, I mean, he didn't have a good year, but I bet he had one good football game.
But I think, see, to me, I was really impressed with how Justin Herbert played from the standpoint of, I thought at some point there was going to be a mistake made. He was going to miss it. There was going to be something that happened where he
didn't wide open, no pressure.
Fully take advantage of something. But I think
still talented.
You know, I think that he was really impressive because it felt like what we haven't seen in years past, and he's been good, but in a big moment where you're facing a division rival against a defense that's very talented, against Steve Spagnuolo, figuring out a way to kind of be unpredictable was something that I wasn't necessarily expecting.
This goes into a little bit of what Gold had said, and just more about where the teams are, and then I know we'll get to a break. But the fact that this is Justin Herbert's biggest win of his career, a regular season game in week one on a neutral site, does still speak to the differences of the two before I'm going to send myself into a panic, Gold. Like, this is Justin Herbert's biggest game of his career, probably.
Yeah, I mean, look.
To that point, they had lost 7 in a row? How many in a row they lost to the Chiefs?
I think it was 7.
Like, Justin Herbert's a good enough quarterback. I didn't think he was going to lose 15 in a row to the guy.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. So they have the Raiders, as you said, on Monday. That could get them to 2-0. Then they have the Broncos. I mean, if they play 3 divisional games out of the gate, if they start 3-0 with 3 divisional games, then let's obviously their path. Meanwhile, what are the Chiefs? Are the Chiefs 0-2? Are they 1-2? Are they 1-1? Like, you know, what's their schedule? Or their record at that point in time. But yeah, if the Chargers win their first 3 divisional games, 1-2-3, then they have the leg up on everybody. Yeah, then we can have a conversation. And we're going to talk about Bills and Ravens come on the next segment. I still watch what I saw from Buffalo and Baltimore, and I still think both those teams are better than the Chargers.
Yes.
Like, watching,
for sure.
If we're going off of just week one stuff.
Defensively,
right?
Though, question marks for them.
Sure, but is that just both quarterbacks played one of those really high-level games, and it's week one, and defenses are further behind offenses in the first week or two of the season? I don't know. We're going to find out. But let's talk more about what we saw last night. The Ravens ravened again, plus the random question of the day right here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Marisa's.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Cody Ingold.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
We'll get to the random question of the day in about 8 minutes or so. Real quick, we were talking about streaming. What did you guys make of the actual broadcast of the YouTube
hated
stuff?
Hated it. Hold on.
We're getting
felt like
old.
I was 97 years old. That's probably what it was.
We're getting old is what it is.
I'll admit that was definitely part of the problem.
Look, they had Kay Adams. We know who she is. I thought Tyrann Mathieu during pregame. I thought Tyrann Mathieu actually was really sharp for his first time. I thought he was very, very good. I actually thought your guy Derek Carr was pretty good too. But the in Brazil crew, other than Kay Adams, I had no clue who any of these. I mean, I know who Mr. Beast is, but like the general story of Mr. Beast.
But I will say, but this is why it works. My son, who does not often watch football,
not trying to target
Mr. Beast. He's like, they're going to shoot that guy out of a cannon. Like, he was invested as a 7-year-old immediately.
But that's what I'm saying. We're getting old.
Yeah, we're not the demo for it.
But a 19-year-old kid probably loved seeing Mr. Beast and probably also loved seeing the Destroyer guy. By the way,
whatever. I got to say, his entire commentary being, that dude big. You're like, yeah, man. I mean,
they came back from break and he's like, yeah, I saw the Quentin Johnson touchdown right in front of me. Man, I just didn't realize how big football players are. Like, great analysis. the video quality and everything was great. And, you know, Kurt Warner.
I watched it on I know some people had some connection issues, but I watched it on the antenna, so okay. I didn't have that issue.
Kurt Warner and In Eisen were what I expected. Kurt Warner's great. I thought Rich Eisen did exactly what I said he would do months ago. To me, it's basically like we're interrupting him looking at his phone. It'll be like, oh, wait, well, there he goes. Like we interrupted him looking at his phone during the broadcast. He's a great on Sports Talk, great studio host, I think. Play-by-play is not the best for old Rich Eisen, but I thought the broadcast was fine. I just, when they had all the influencers, I realized I don't know who most of these people are.
Mm-mm. No, and then my daughter, but like, you know, because like my kids like that, she's like, my daughter was like, well, call me Haley Beyond. I'm like, don't know who that is.
Who?
Probably not. I don't know. Just some YouTube person.
Did you know any of these people? I mean, again, I know the name Mr. Beast. I'm just saying, like, did you know?
Mr. Beast is, I think, the only one I knew.
Yeah. I've heard of Mr. Beast. I don't watch his content on YouTube. I watch other people. I don't know any of the other people.
Yeah. I just think it's like, sometimes with these broadcasts, and Peacock does this too, this is not just a YouTube thing or just like an influencer thing, other people I don't necessarily know. They get the one game, and then my problem is like, doing a little too much here. I don't need this and that and this other thing and this thing.
No, it's their,
like,
Super Bowl, though.
It's like design. I know, but like that's part of the unenjoyment of the broadcast is like they're actively banking on me have unmedicated ADHD and that I don't want to pay attention to anything for more than 35 seconds anyway. So like it all feels like it oftentimes is just like you're trying too hard. And Gold, I think it's right. It is your Super Bowl, but also if you just do like a good quality broadcast, no one's going to be like, wish I had more stuff.
The numbers just came out, actually, if you're curious. 16.2 million viewers in the U.S., 16% improvement over last year's opening Friday night game, also played in Brazil. The total includes viewing from YouTube, the YouTube app, YouTube TV, main telecast, alternate feeds, and everything like that. But of course, the Thursday night game had 28.3 million. The Chiefs game had 16.2. So it was up, but I guess, you know, YouTube.
It still didn't do better than like network television.
Yeah, 17.3 million people worldwide watched. So 1.1 million people outside the United States watched. I'm guessing they thought that number was going to be bigger worldwide than just what it was. Like, my guess is they probably thought more than 1.1 million people outside of the U.S. were going to watch since it was on YouTube for free.
Probably, but also, like, it's still not a global sport. It's something they're working on, but it hasn't gotten there. Last night's game, I imagine, did anybody else? I almost just turned it off and switched to some, like, you know, nonsense background TV because, like, you know, my wife and I were so like, I'm not going to, you've watched enough football today. I was about to be like, we can turn this off. It's fine. I don't need to finish this game. It's 40-25. And then I started some like other stuff. So it was like, it was still kind of on with the intent of being like, I'm done here. I don't need to see any more Bills, Ravens. And then yet, Gold, all of a sudden, Josh Allen went Super Saiyan, decided to destroy the rest of the Ravens defense that existed. They made a catastrophic mistake when Derrick Henry coughed up the ball.
Oh, man.
And then could not make a stop on defense when simply just keeping them into long field goal range might have given you a chance with a backup kicker, certainly a guy who signed last minute into the game and gave themselves no chance. It was a phenomenal start to the NFL season. But it doesn't change my opinion on either of these teams other than both of them can score. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen will both be MVP contenders again this year. These will be two of the best teams in the AFC. All these things I thought, I guess. The Ravens should be sick. That's a team that, like, how did you let them come back on you like that? The Bills, they've come back on teams before, so they'll do it again. The Ravens, how did you let that one go? On the road against Buffalo, you had them.
Well, it might have cost
you. Had them.
It is week one. I will say, I don't think it's crazy, given the Bills' schedule and the easy division they're in, that might have cost the Ravens a chance at the one seed because of the tiebreaker now, being in favor of Buffalo. Like, we already thought Buffalo had an inside path towards the one seed, given everything I said with the schedule, and then now they get a head-to-head win, so now Baltimore, of course, has to finish one win better than Buffalo to get the one seed, and I thought that was unlikely anyway. Now it becomes...
Now, even Buffalo's more likely, heavy favorite
Buffalo last night had a win probability of 1.1% with 8.5 minutes to go. It was the most improbable comeback by the Bills with Josh Allen at quarterback in his career. The 13th most improbable comeback by any team over the last decade. That's what was amazing about that. And the Ravens, this is what they have done in big games before, though. Benjamin Solak had the stat that the Ravens have now lost 8 games since 2021 in which they at one point had a win probability of at least 90%.
I actually saw since 1990, it's like since Harbaugh has 17 games he has lost as a head coach when up double digits. And I thought, go for real? Like, so it doesn't matter who's quarterback is. I'm like, look, I've got Harbaugh in the top 10 of NFL coaches, but that is an incredibly damning stat. You can't just be a first half coach. You actually have to win these games. It's like the opposite Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes historically, who get down double digits and it doesn't stop them from winning games. You're blowing that many games? Like what you just said, you're blowing that many games? I don't know what it is, because the funny part is, it's not like Lamar blew it for them. Derrick Henry was the one. Lamar put up 40 damn points. He didn't fumble the ball at the end. Their defense completely fell apart. And look, maybe they were gassed. Stevens came around. Josh Allen's a tough guy to defend. I get it. All the stuff that comes with it. You'd scored 40 and were up 15 with 3 minutes to go. There is no other way to categorize that besides you blew it. You choked.
Yeah, and you get some breaks along the way, too. I mean, Buffalo, the touchdown, I think it was Keon Coleman that had
that
ball.
Oh, yeah, got tipped around and then he caught it. That was third or fourth down, wasn't it?
It was fourth down, I think. I think it was. I mean,
so like, they got lucky. That game's over if that tipped ball doesn't go into Keon Coleman's hand.
No, both Lamar and Josh Allen, they're both going to have unbelievable years. Stats are going to be off the charts. Ravens should just be sick because, one, they should have, but I think they honestly cost themselves the number one seed. That's to me, is why it's the biggest problem.
One game in, and I don't disagree with you because it was going to be that tight anyway, and now you have to beat them by two games. And the Bills' schedule is a joke. It just is. And by the way, we thought the division wasn't that hard. Now Miami looks like a doormat. And I'm not saying one game is going to determine their whole future. They look like they decided not to show up and play football at all that day. Like they had just quit on Mike McDaniel. 4 weeks into this thing, he's going to be on his ass. He's got the worst favorite to get fired by far.
He already had the best odds to be the first head coach fired. And they had the worst performance in week one, unless tonight somebody does something even worse. But I can't imagine it being worse than what Miami just did against Indianapolis. And tonight, by the way, Bears-Vikings. I'm excited to see J.J. McCarthy. I'm interested to see him for sure. Unofficial Cody and Gold, non-associated with the show.
Just fans like, amongst people, you know?
I need Justin Jefferson to get 17 or I'm getting chopped in week one.
Week one?
After winning it last year, I'm going to get chopped in week one. Yes.
Have you ever been week one chopped before?
Never. Never.
It's a sick feeling, man.
I don't like it.
As someone who has been chopped in a week one.
Here was the problem. The team that I had for this guillotine league.
Give me your roster. Let me hear it.
Tua. He had like 6 points. Kenneth Walker barely touched the ball. He had like 4 points.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to know.
My wide receiver was Cedric Tillman. He was actually good. Jake Ferguson, and then I had another wide receiver that didn't do anything. I can't remember. It was not a good roster because remember it was 18. But I think I'm going to get chopped, man.
You think you're done? 18 though, full point PPR.
Oh, here we go. It was Tyreek Hill had 8 points. Tyrone Tracy had five.
Tyrone.
But basically,
Kenneth Walker. It's not a good roster, but most 18 rosters aren't.
I'm at 52.36. They project me to have 69.2. I need to get to 70.6. It's going to be close.
I mean,
gonna be close tonight.
Yeah. I mean, you're not dead to rights. You got Justin Jefferson.
I need JJ McCarthy to have a 55-yard touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson.
I'll just tell you boys right now, Justin Jefferson's out on the street. My bid will be high.
You're gonna just poach my roster.
True. Not the whole roster, but if Justin Jefferson's available and a full point PPR,
Cody's gonna spend $585 on Jefferson.
It might be more. I'm not saying exactly what I'll spend, but I'll tell you right now.
You know how this goes, though, right? If I survive this week, then I'm surviving till week 10.
Yeah. That's like, how it works. If you survive now, it won't even be a sweat for another 7 weeks, and I'll be on death's door next week.
So we'll see. I don't feel good about it. Yeah.
I'll tell you right now. Amon Ra with Justin Jefferson.
What running backs do you have, Gold?
You don't want them.
Good.
You don't want them.
Okay.
Kenneth Walker and Tyrone Tracy. This is guillotine league, not a normal fantasy for those asking why the roster sucks.
So the person who I think is...
I should have started Daniel Jones. He was on my bench.
I don't know the standings. I think Kyle 5 has nobody left.
Nobody left. It's just Drew versus Justin.
Kyle
versus Justin Jefferson.
I'm sorry, but I hope that if he doesn't make it, Jonathan Taylor, I will be willing to spend a lot of money for.
Oh, so now you're rooting for Kyle to lose so you can pluck his roster.
Just as you were rooting for Gold to lose so you can...
It's different. I know Gold.
Justin
Jefferson. Kyle, what did he do? He's just a regular
Kyle didn't
guy.
Do anything to me. I'm just trying to, I'm trying to improve the team so I don't get chopped.
Justin Jefferson, I'll be watching tonight.
I like my draft picks of Breece Hall and Jaden Daniels so far. That's about all I can say about my team.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce might get some more work on my roster now.
We'll see.
There's no Xavier Worthy. I said might. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. Yeah. Might get some more work.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. Random question I have today is an announcement that the Chiefs made. So you're going to have to pick your favorite. Or if you dislike this idea at all, I'd also like to know that. 913-586-7965. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Love interacting with you over there. Like and subscribe on YouTube or Twitch. Pop to the top of your feed. Know when this show is going live. Today, the Kansas City Chiefs, as a part of their ongoing efforts to be known internationally, have introduced the European Wolfpack. This is not a joke. This is a very real email. They have introduced different versions of KC Wolf for each international market. There's KC O Wolf, which I don't feels culturally insensitive. We're going to let it live. Spirited Trickster with a golden heart. Irish charm, wild energy, unwavering devotion, and rallies fans with laughter, loyalty,
so
and a week
Ireland.
Of mischief. KC Wolfington. Can you guess which country that is?
I guess it's the UK.
That is the UK. Clever, charismatic mascot with sharp banter, steadfast loyalty, and quiet swagger, it said.
Oh.
KC Wolfgang. Probably safely guess that that's Germany.
Germany.
Yeah. A bold yet lovable figure with a dry sense of humor. Rallies fans with quiet confidence. Clever charm, always dependable. Also, as reliable as German engineering, it says in the end. And then KC Lavazo, which is the Spanish version of it. He's bursting with imagination, swagger, and unmistakable charm. Street smart style, fiery passion, fearless and bold with fans, presence for the flair, it says, to go with it. So my question for you is, who's your favorite new KC Wolf?
Well, they're going all in on the international stuff. You know, there's no question. They just got done playing in Brazil. There's already reports out from Ireland that the Chiefs are willing to play there next year. The Chiefs are raising their hand for any international game opportunity. And now they're trying to create these ambassadors that are Wolves in different countries. My favorite, I saw the photo they put out today, too. There's like a graphic they just
got slightly different pants. The upper part of the costume, as you can imagine, looks very similar.
I'll go with Wolvington. I'll go KC Wolvington.
Wolvington, huh? Yeah, that's your KC favorite Wolvington. Of those? Wolvington. From the text line, I said, just tell me if you like it or not. The very first text says, hate it in all caps. So
when you were describing it, I was thinking you were describing like the Labubu dolls that Naomi Osaka was carrying.
I got to say,
see them falling into that lane here.
Has never changed the name. Of anything, why not just put regular KC Wolves in, you know, like in those
There's
countries?
There's only one KC Wolf.
It's going to be like a series of releases.
As a KC Wolf purist, this feels a little bit the opposite of him. They got him in all kinds of weird pants. They got him dressed like he's Padraig Harrington for KC Wolf. He's in like Irish colored Argyle.
Let's go.
They've got KC Wolfgang in like a spiral shaped German flag color. They've got X and O pants. That are like, you know, like X's and O's pants for KC Wolfington. And the Bozo guy, I don't even, block colored. I can't even begin to describe that. They also have different, slightly different, I feel like.
You forgot, there's actually, you named three of them, is that right? There are four of them? There's a fifth one. There's actually a fifth one. This is for all the penitentiaries across the country as well. There's a Chiefsaholic one that they're going to unveil as well.
That's for any of you just surfing for, time.
Yeah, that one, just to connect and market. You know, eventually some of those people will be getting out. They want them to be Chiefs fans, you know? Do we? Maybe. No. Raiders fans instead.
No. I guess
if they wanted to market for everybody internationally, I think the Labubu doll thing actually might be a way to go. If they want to do this, they make those, all of these characters, different ones, I think it would be a hit.
Are you all in on this Labubu thing? You mentioned this like twice in the last week or so.
I think it's very popular.
I know what they are. It's part of the collectible space. I know what they are. They are very, very popular. And if you get the rare one, they're worth quite a bit of money.
I think the Chiefs could get in on that. Well, because the big deal is I watch the U.S. Open. I watch a lot of tennis. I try to. And the U.S. Open has been going on. And Naomi Osaka was making a run. And that was the thing, is she had a story behind each Labubu doll that she had. And I thought it was kind of cool that she would, you know, bring that into that like space, and she would give like a, she dropped like a quick little 16 about her Labubu doll. I think people would, Chiefs, look, if they want to expand the brand, this is like the lane to get into.
They also made
beyond them, just everything else that they're doing. I think that's another lane to hop in.
Why do you think they chose to make them brown wolves instead of gray?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Anybody got a guess on that? I'd love to know, because like the gray one's still like the leader.
Yes.
I'm still the king. Like in a, you know, put them in a Royal Rumble match. Maybe you got me. You, as the announcement of this, put them in a ring, and it's just them throwing each other out of the ring to declare one KC Wolf the leader, and it's the original one?
Here you go. Here's your explanation.
You might be onto something here.
Here's your explanation. It says in the press release, Cody, the European Wolf appearance is different than the domestic KC Wolf that Chiefs fans around the globe have come to know and love for more than three decades. All European Wolves are based on the Eurasian Wolf, featuring a mix of tan, white, as well as shades of red, gray, and black, compared to the gray and white fur of the gray American Wolf, which KC Wolf is based on. There's your inch.
They gave an answer.
I didn't know we were going to get a full breakdown on the European Wolves versus the American.
I like
American
this text
wolf.
Message from the 913. If we can do this, then we can finally get a black alternative jersey.
I was genuinely worried when I watched...
Hey, I'm fine with the Chiefs taking over the world. The Chiefs taking over the world and expanding the brand. This is funny. We're having some fun with it. But look, dude, they want to be the world's team. They truly do. And they're going to do everything possible. This is obviously a marketing effort for them. They will be playing internationally next year. We don't know if it's going to be Ireland, if it's going to be Madrid. Eventually, every team's going to play every year. The Chiefs are just volunteering. They love it. It's obviously a business decision, as well. I have no issue with it. I told you my biggest gripe is in the future, I do not believe the Super Bowl should ever be overseas. But I recognize I'm going to lose that battle in the next probably 10 years, that the NFL will have a Super Bowl in London, probably. That's my biggest issue.
You'll be
watching
it at 2 p.m.
I don't know what time I'll be watching it, and I'll be watching no matter what time it is. I just won't like it. But the actual international games, we all just got to get used to it. This is going to, eventually every single team is going to play a game or two internationally every year.
How many international games are there this year?
More than ever, which I don't know if it's eight.
I think it's something like that.
So half the league, theoretically.
Half the week,
unless Jacksonville has two games there for whatever reason.
Well, I mean,
as they're the de facto London.
Is it the Vikings
team.
Who go there for back to back weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, like a team is already there for back to back weeks.
So it's not all 16. So it's not half the league then.
Here are the.
No, but it's half the weeks if you want to look at it that.
I don't know if I was right on the number. I just threw it out there. The Jags played 13. How many are this year, though?
That's a good question. I thought it was 7 or 8. I thought the number you said sounded right to me, Gold.
I mean, I think I'm in the range. I just don't quote me on the exact number. I was trying to find out the exact.
It is seven.
Seven matches.
Seven international games. The next one will be on September 28th,
okay.
October 5th, October 12th, October 19th. So they'll play. One,
yeah,
two, three,
range
four,
in October.
Five. They'll start. They'll do four international games in a row.
Okay.
Then take like 3 weeks off, and then go back to back weeks in like November. My biggest problem with this is like, if we're saying we're going to do it every week, is you got to double stack some weeks. I do not want my team playing international games anytime after week 12.
Well,
the season's just too important. Don't be sticking people over in London, Ireland,
yeah,
Spain, Brazil late in the season.
But they've already kind of said what the plan would be. They would. After the new CBA, they will go to 18 games.
Double bye.
And double bye it, and you play international, and that's how they'll take care of it.
I hate that a late game season that could matter would be overseas.
What? Well, I didn't
throwing
want
to, off all kinds of portions of it. A beginning season
this,
game, yeah.
This offseason, I told you I didn't like the fact that the divisional game was overseas. That's why when we were trying to guess what the week one game was, I'm like, oh, they're not going to pick Chiefs Chargers. They're not going to mess with the divisional game. And they did. So that was my issue with playing in the Chargers in Brazil, is I don't think any divisional game should be overseas.
Yeah, that it should be Chiefs, Lions, Chiefs, whoever. I don't really care.
Like Steelers, Vikings, I think, are one of the games in London, in
sure,
Ireland.
Sounds good. Okay. AFC, NFC?
Yeah, that's fine. The Chiefs, Giants, put it in Brazil. I that was not just because the Chiefs lost in Brazil. That's been my thought for months now. I don't like the fact that any divisional game is overseas.
But I think you should cap it after week 13. No more going overseas. Like, and again, this all goes back to the same thing. We're fighting small wins. This is like I saw over the weekend, it was only 2 minutes of commercials in red zone. And people were like, see, it's not that big a deal. It's only 2 minutes now. It'll be 30 in the next 5 years. So like, we can say it's only 2 minutes now, but they're just trying to soften the blow for when they eventually inundate me with it. So I don't have to just be
I'll worry about that.
Just the same as you wait until the Super Bowl's on Netflix in 15 years. It's going to be the same
or
sort of
overseas.
Deal. Yeah, it's going
to
be
it's
the
like
same
fighting
deal.
The little battles.
You'll
so that eventually
Netflix
you hold
it.
On to it.
Yeah. Red zone was great on Sunday. It was
good day for Red Zone.
Really, really good. First window of games was really good down the stretch there.
Yeah. I had it on. It was not too over. It was not, not as overwhelming this week. Maybe a good week for it.
Okay. Are you back in?
I'm in the normal amount I am. There's times I can take it mentally and there's times that I can't.
Up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk about something that Mahomes continues to mask for this team and someone might be hurting their legacy even more. We'll explain who it is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.